Princess.
I guess that's DLC.
Yeah, right. It's downloadable content.
Yeah. Which has come a long way from like what downloadable games used to be. Like if you think like when I think about to like my first real exposure to a downloadable game that caught me by surprise, I think it was Geometry Wars back when I first got my 360.
Right.
Which was kind of funny because that was a game that was basically like a side project of a few people that worked on Project Gotham Racing. And you know, there's several other games that kind of have that small indie feel. Braid apparently was one guy who may or may not be a god in his own mind. you know, and then what was the game on PSN? The
Everyday Shooter?
Everyday Shooter was one guy.
Oh yeah, that game's awesome.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And it just seemed like there was like this kind of like small gathering of people that, and now you have like Fat Princess and like Pixel Junk, which have like large teams of people behind it putting out products, which I didn't really expect to see, you know, for like a $15 title, like that level of quality, you know, come out of a product that at that price,
right. Yeah.
I'm guessing that their overhead's probably lower because, you know, they're not building a full game, so it ends up being cheaper to produce, so they actually make more back off of it if it sells well.
Right. Well, how do you think they market a game like Fat Princess, which I think is something that a lot of people would probably really enjoy, but if you don't have, you know, if you're not accessing PSN all the time or if you're not checking out, I mean, there's some people that just don't, you know, look at video game websites. Their access to is a Game Informer, you know,
right.
Or ads at GameStop. How are they going to be exposed to these games? Because as far as I know, Game Informer does not review downloadable titles because their mother company can't sell it.
Exactly. Well, I mean, I know I have two friends who play video games, you know, fairly regularly, but they don't really follow, you know, websites or anything like that. It's just they know when the big games come out and they pick them up. And I'm positive they don't know about Fat Princess.
Yeah.
Because they don't have PS3s either, which definitely, you know, hurts. But it's like even a big game when it's released, you know, even if you don't have the system, you know it's out there. And that might even prompt you to buy it. But like a game like Fat Princess, they're going to have no idea until they come over and I show it to them sometime. The same actually happened with Flower. One of my friends came over and I showed him Flower and he was just blown away that a game like that even exists. And that can also, you know, going back to downloadable games and where they've come from, like, you know, where they've gone, I think Flower's a pretty good example.
Flower is an amazing example. I mean, I don't even know if it's truly a game.
Right.
But I don't want to get into the can games be art discussion. I already had that this week on Twitter.
Well, I mean, I think it's, you know, I think there's art there. But, I mean, there's certainly game mechanics. I mean, even the fact that you can just play through strictly for, you know, the narrative, you know, what's there, the little story that it's telling you. But there's game mechanics. I mean, you know, like going through and playing again and trying to collect all the, you know, all the green little petals and everything like that. I mean, that's not art. That's game. That's getting you to come back and play more and making you want all the, you know, trophies and everything like that. I mean, that's...
Right. And in comparison, a game that probably has more art than game than Flower is... Linger in Shadows, which have any of you guys tried that?
Mm-mm. Yes.
What did you think, Raymond? Because I was confused, and at some point, like I think I might have been a little bit terrified.
I don't know if I was terrified, but I was definitely confused. It felt more like an art tech demo.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it wasn't a game.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
Wait, what was it? PS3?
Yeah, yeah. It's PSN. It's like, I think it's like $2 or $3, and it's got these like almost interactive like sequences that they kind of make me feel like it's like a digital pop-up book, because there's very limited movement in the environment, and you can kind of move it back and forth and to change your viewing angle, and it's just I don't know. And there's like a dog that's flying, and
it's weird.
Yeah, it's
was this recently released?
No, it was released about 6-7 months ago, maybe.
Yeah, something like that.
It's very strange. I mean, there is actually like there is stuff in the environment that if you interact with in the proper way, it will move you to like the next scene or the next area, but it's not clearly defined what you're doing.
Yeah, like, not at all. And it has trophies, but I can't understand why.
Yeah, it does have trophies, but it does. I couldn't really be motivated to play it. I don't even know if I finished it. I honestly don't even know if I finished it. I played it for a while, and like I'm like, maybe there's something here that I missed. I don't know. I think I got to the end, but getting back to like DLC, I think that's a chance that because it is DLC, like some developers or some people are willing to take to put something out there that's completely unusual and completely out of like left field, and just see how well it does. And I don't think Lingering Shadows did well, but then, you know, a game like Flower, I think you would have a hard time marketing that as, I mean, even if the game were longer, you know, than what it is, I still think you'd have a horrible time like getting people to buy that in a retail space.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I would think so, especially for full price. I mean, it's definitely it's built to function as, you know, a downloadable game.
Right.
I mean, it makes great use of that medium.
Right. And you know what, I remember I haven't seen one in a while, but I think like a year ago Sony was running an ad campaign where it was highlighting some of the stuff off of PSN.
Mm-hmm.
Like you know, the people's shirts for like the games or something. And I haven't seen that recently, and like there's a lot of games that PSN could promote, you know, like you know, Warhawk is still going strong, you know, and then Flower, Fat Princess, the Pixel Junk stuff, and it just seems like they haven't really been advertising it like they used to. And given the fact that they are still kind of failing behind in the console market, you'd think that they would, you know, highlight some of that stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, do you think that's the kind of stuff that sells consoles?
One particular DLC title is not going to move consoles, but if you have an entire library of reasonably priced, good downloadable titles, I think it is enough to add some more, like, to warrant the purchase of a title. Because, I mean, if you're looking at the library and you're like, okay, like, this fall, Uncharted 2 comes out, you know, next, either this fall or next spring, God of War 3 comes out. So you're going to have people who are probably going to be leaning towards purchasing a PS3, you know, especially if the rumors of the Slim are true and there's going to be a price drop. You know, looking at the library of titles on PSN, along with the titles that you're looking to buy on home console, I think that, you know, it could push sales, you know, it could push people over the edge and like, okay, you know what, I've been hearing a lot of good stuff about Fat Princess, or I saw that commercial for Flower, and Flower looks like, you know, a really, you know, really cool game. I think that could add to somebody's motivation to go purchase a PS3.
Well, let me try again.
back when the 360 launched, you know, I didn't have one for a long time, but my friend Mike would bring his over to my friend Adam's, and the three of us would play, and, you know, he had, like, Fight Night Round 3 and stuff, which just blew me away. I mean, I don't know if anyone played Fight Night Round 3 when it came out, but that game just looked incredible compared to anything else, you know, that was out at the time on any system. And, you know, so we'd play that for a long time, and then we would stop, and, you know, and he would, you know, boot up Geometry Wars, bringing that back, and, you know, that was just addictive and fun, and that was just like, wow, this system, you know, has a lot to offer from so many different areas, and, you know, that's what made me want to get one.
Looking at how this conversation's gone so far, how much DLC have we really mentioned that's 360 exclusive? I mean, we have Geometry Wars, and there's Braid.
And Braid's no longer 360 exclusive, though.
Right. Well, okay, then you still have Rez. But overall, the DLC stuff on the 360 side that aren't add-ons has been pretty shitty.
I mean, about this whole Summer of Arcade they're doing. I mean, you have, like, Explosion Man, and then you have the, you know, Ninja Turtles, Turtles in Time that's being re-released, and Shadow Complex, which a lot of people are psyched for.
Shadow Complex looks cool, but the Summer of Arcade series, none of it has made me want to spend money on the 360.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I've gotten more into the PSN because they've proven that they're willing to take risks on making some different stuff, not just trying to rehash the same old genres over and over again.
I know I'm in the minority on this, but the main reason why I don't download a lot of stuff off the 360 is that, well, one, I don't have an active gold membership right now, and two, I no longer want to support a company that's going to charge me, you know, a premium to play games online, and then also charge me to do anything else, like download titles. Like, there's not enough. I can't motivate myself to go spend the, you know, $7.99 a month to have a gold membership, and then also purchase titles off of, you know, the 360 when they still have that stupid archaic MS point system in place. It's the same way I don't buy stuff off the Wii.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have not, like, and there's a lot of stuff on the Wii that I probably would buy, but I don't like a point system. I like the PSN because, like, oh, I wonder how much that is. Oh, $7.99? Okay, fine. I can charge exactly $7.99 to my card and get the game.
Right. Well, you know, in defense of the Wii, I mean, the points are equal to dollars. If something 800 points, that's $8.
Yeah.
I mean, at least it's an easy conversion.
Okay, then yeah, that probably wouldn't be too bad. But I still, for whatever reason, I haven't purchased anything. Have you purchased anything off of a virtual console?
Not in a while, no. I've been wanting to. I haven't purchased anything downloadable in a while. Purchasing Fat Princess was the first thing I've done in a while. But I'm looking to get some more stuff soon. Especially, like, I know we talked about, but since I'm in the process of moving, I don't have as much money to spend on full games. So I'm looking forward to getting some downloadable games. Like, I finally want to get World of Goo and some other stuff. I know there was some other stuff on the Wii, like some virtual console stuff specifically that I was interested in trying. Although now I can't remember, but
I kind of want to get Sin and Punishment just to see what all the talk is about.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, but I definitely think that, like, the Wii is one of those places where, again, it doesn't seem like, it seems like more marketing might help the Wii, like the virtual console, because there is so many of those classic games that Nintendo has, you know, been kind of riding the wave on, like the Zeldas, and I think you can get Kid Icarus off of there, and you know, all that stuff that people have been clamoring for, and I just don't think that any of the big three are doing enough right now to push, you know, to push downloadable content. And you know, you say, you mentioned the Summer of Arcade or whatever it is that Microsoft is promoting. Well, they're not promoting it. In media channels outside of, you know, the online environment or in, you know, Xbox Live.
Right, but I mean, does anyone who doesn't pay attention to Xbox Live or video game websites have any interest in downloading games?
They have interest in games.
Well, fair enough, but
Microsoft sees downloadable as the future, so if that's their true plan, they're really not marketing it right. I mean, half my customers don't even realize that they need to pay to get online with a 360 until you tell them. And then when they hear about, you know, say Grand Theft Auto's add-on, they're like, wait, I have to pay another $20 for that or whatever it ends up being. It just seems to turn them off. So I don't know. Microsoft's marketing strategy is probably the worst of the bunch.
Right.
Well, actually, I was going to bring that up. Jason, you saying that you're abandoning, you know, the 360 sort of, at least in terms of online content and online play. And I was always kind of like leaning in that direction. Really, the only reason I play on 360 for my online games is just because none of my friends have a PS3. Mm-hmm. I only know one person, like, personally, and you know, one of my friends that has a PS3. Everyone else has 360. But my 360 just finally red-ringed the other day, so I think I'm, like, highly contemplating just not getting a 360. I mean, my PS3 can do everything my 360 could do as far as any media. You know, I could just download, play on, pay $30 once, and then, you know, I can stream Netflix and Hulu and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then I could play for free. And then, you know, really the only thing I think I'd miss out on, because there aren't really any exclusives for the 360 that I couldn't play on PC.
Right.
So I don't have to worry about that. But really the only thing I really usually can't play on PC is, you know, the downloadable games. Like, you know, I keep hearing everyone talk about Splosion Man, and I really want to play it because it sounds awesome, but I can't now.
I hadn't heard anything at all about that until I saw Rob talking about it on Twitter, and then I saw a couple other people, and I mean, that it sounds interesting, but I'm not going to, you know, go back and shell out all that, you know, ridiculous, you know, money just so I can, you know, play a couple games. And I still have other issues, you know, with the 360 in general. I mean, I had a 360 Red Ring, and it took them 3 months to get a 360 back to me.
Mm-hmm.
My 360 I sent in, it got repaired and sent out to somebody the following week. I had to wait 3 months to get a refurb, and they were constantly confused. And all I got was a 2 month free Xbox Live card. I'm like, wow, great, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like just like the stability of the console. I don't know. I still hate the new Xbox experience. Like, it takes forever for my friends to load in. So I half the time I just like, you know what, fuck it. I don't care what you guys are playing.
Right.
Just it takes like, you know, it takes a couple minutes for, you know, you guys load. I like the Blades. Like, I didn't see any reason to actually like get away from the Blades.
Yeah, I could find things there. Still can't find on the new experience where, like, I know I have unspent points, but I don't know where to go and find, you know, where they list that. I suppose I could go try buy something that will tell me how many I have then, but that's not what I want. I just want to see like a total, like they used to show me.
Forgive me for running off to find the one thing I have to do.
Games, which, you know, it's hard to find. You literally have to like be looking for stuff like that. You just can't stumble across it.
I mean, I wanted to bring that up, the community games, you know, as far as talking about DLC. I mean, those are hard to find, and they're, even once you find them, I mean, navigating them and knowing what's actually worth downloading, it's impossible.
Right. And from what I understand, the reason that like Xbox Live can't promote the community games is that they want to remain impartial.
Right.
So, which is stupid. I mean, they're not impartial in any other aspect of their operation. Why are they going to be impartial on this one? Right. Doesn't make any sense.
Especially when they're not free. I mean, they were supposed to originally, you know, be able to be given away for free, but now that you have to pay money for them, I mean, it just seems silly to not help with the navigation of that. And yeah, knowing what's worth downloading and...
Yeah.
But,
although they did just rebrand that. I don't know if you guys saw that. Like, they're not called community games anymore. Now they're called indie games. And the pricing structure changed, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think now you can actually pay... I think the minimum price actually went down. I think before it was $2, and now the minimum price is $1, I think. Don't quote me on that. I'm sure you could pull up the article if you look around real quick. But yeah, now they're Xbox, like, indie games is what they're called, and the pricing is a little different. So.
Okay.
What is everyone's obsession with that word, indie? Nothing is truly independent. There's always someone behind it channeling money. That word bugs me.
You think? Well, I don't know. I mean, indie just meaning you're not backed by a big, you know, big studio, big developer. It's like you kind of do it on your own. I mean, Braid. I mean, Jonathan Blow made that all on his own, regardless of how he, you know, he became wealthy and able to, you know, and able to do that. I mean, he didn't have anyone backing it. He used his own money.
Well, that's great. And I guess there are a few people that actually fall under it. But when you make a whole category and try and call it indie, it just starts sounding like you're trying to play off of the... Oh, wow, it might be good because, you know, it's not being made by a big developer feel. No, I don't think so. Not everything works that way.
Right. Yeah, no, it is. They're kind of trying to cash in on that. Because typically when someone says indie game, you know, it's there's this sense of maybe that it's going to, you know, have some uniqueness to it or something like that. And yeah, once you're just calling everything indie, you know, that some guy made in his basement, then, you know, he made some massage simulator where you just put the controller on your crotch and, you know, press a button and it just starts massaging. I mean, that's not really...
Where can I get this game?
Oh, are you kidding me? Go on Xbox. There's like 6 different versions of that game I just described.
Or you could just get Rez from Japan with the trans vibrator.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Which is really funny. But
Or you can just play on the 360 with 4 controllers.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I'm not that I've ever tried.
No. Of course not. You and the wife, once the kids in bed, pull out some rest.
Did you guys ever see the video that I want to say it was Jane Pinkert, but I can't remember. Before she joined 1UP, she had a blog called Game Girl Advance, and there was a video on that on her site of, and I don't know if it was her or not, but there's a video of a guy that was playing Rez with the. With the trans vibrator, but his girlfriend was using the trans vibrator while he played Rez.
That is fantastic.
Yeah.
They don't actually show anything, right?
Well, she's wearing underwear. I mean, like they show, you know.
I feel like
it's not, you know, it's not like anything that's, you know, horribly graphic or anything. It's just,
right.
You know.
Oh, now it's not so exciting anymore.
Ruined it for Raymond. You can hear him typing in the background, looking that up.
No, I'll fully admit, I'm actually in WoW.
Good. I'm AFK. I'm all tabbed out. I'm looking at news, seeing if there's anything to talk about. And
if you go on the community section. In fact, they're in the top downloads, all these massage programs. It basically gives you like a debug of the remote. Like you can set how fast or hard you want the vibration to be. Like if you want it to be, because I think there's like several different motors in the controller, so you can say like where the vibration's coming from and all that kind of stuff.
Okay, I guess that just shows you the average age of the people that use the 360. They're young kids and they think it's funny.
Right, right. And they're making money. I mean, you know, they have to charge money for this, so people are paying $2 to, you know. Have a controller they can use as a vibrator, I guess.
That's horrible on so many levels, actually.
So, there you go. It's believable, though. I mean, imagine if the iPhone, speaking of, like, downloadable games, I mean, the iPhone's doing incredible, but imagine if it had some, like, vibration, you know, some sort of motor in it. I mean, I guarantee you'd see all kinds of apps like that.
Oh, yeah. Wait, the iPhone doesn't have any vibration?
I don't think it has vibration. Well, no. Oh, wait, no, it must have. Yeah, it must have. Must be able to set it to vibrate. Oh, yeah, good point. So, I wonder if you can use that in, like, programming.
Probably not, because Apple wouldn't allow it. But I bet you I could go, you know, grab my G1, and I'm sure there's an Android app that will do that. Because Google doesn't care.
Right.
Which, did you see the whole, that the FCC is now investigating Apple for rejecting Google's Google Voice app on the iPhone?
Really?
Yeah, apparently that's not fair competition. Because I was like, oh, well, sucks to be iPhone users.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let me ask you a question. Like, if you're, you know, if you're a budding game designer and you want to throw something up on, you know, the quote unquote indie games market over on Xbox Live,
right,
what's your motivation to make a really good title when you see that, like, the top downloaded titles are these vibration simulators?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's definitely tough. But I think, you know, websites will pick up on these things. If you can make a good game and, you know, you can show it at different events, or if you enter it into the, you know, the Independent Game Festival, I mean, I think, you know, there's definitely a chance that that kind of stuff will get picked up.
But, that actually happened, though, a little while ago. I was listening to 1UP, and there was some talk about that. There's a game on the community marketplace that's like Geometry Wars, but it's got like a music, I can't remember what it was called. It's like, I don't know. Anyway, they are talking about this game, and it sounded like really cool. It's like, it's Geometry Wars, although it's got a very plain aesthetic, and it's kind of got like a res type feature where the music changes, depending on like how you're, you know, how many shots you're shooting and like what you're destroying. So you can kind of set out, you know, and it sounded like completely cool. I had to spend like 35 minutes looking through the community store, like trying to find this one title. And that's where like this is going to, that's where, even if a website picks it up, Xbox still does not, you know, Microsoft still does not pick that title up and say, okay, look, you know what, fuck all these stupid vibration simulators. This is a good game. We're going to put this on the top so people can find it. You know, they don't do stuff like that. So it's hard to find these games that people are talking about.
Right. And right. Like I said, it's just so hard to know what's worth downloading. I mean, because, you know, I think last week when I mentioned that I downloaded that, like, Marble Blast game or whatever, I mean, that's a normal Xbox arcade game. That's not a community game. But before I downloaded that, you know, I had 800 points left, and I was like, well, why don't I go download a community game? Like, that's a good idea. I bet I could find something interesting. And just looking through it, there's just no way of knowing what's worth it. And, yeah, and then you look at the top downloads, and it's, like, massage simulators and all this, like, weird stuff that doesn't even – I mean, there's, like, virtual aquariums. I mean, that you're basically downloading a screensaver for your Xbox. And I was just like, I have no idea – what to even do here. I mean, there's just no way of knowing without having to, like, yeah, get up and do research online. But, I mean, I don't want to do that much research when I'm just trying to spend $2 on, you know, a game someone made.
Right.
Right. And if people like us aren't willing to research it, what's the average consumer going to do?
Right.
They're not going to buy it at all.
If they even find it. I mean, it's buried. You really wouldn't see it if you weren't looking for it.
So, I mean, if the best thing these indie developers can hope is that the websites take notice of them, they're still not going to reach the general public.
Right. Yeah, no, I wouldn't imagine. But, I mean, that's – I don't know. I mean, it just depends how you look at it. They're not necessarily maybe hoping to reach the general public. I mean, like, I guess maybe applying it, maybe it doesn't really work the same. But, like, looking at, like, indie movies or indie music, I mean, this is done without the backing of, you know, giant recording studios or, you know, giant recording labels or, you know, or movie studios or anything like that. And you really only reach that niche audience that's looking for those types of things. And I think you're okay with that. I think you go into it knowing that that's what you're shooting for.
Right, but I think everyone's ultimate goal is to make money. I don't know of anyone doing this that's doing it just because they enjoy it. I mean, they might say they are, but the bottom line is they still have to live.
Right. Well, yeah, I guess that's where games might be different than, at least different than, you know, underground music. But yeah, because I think if you're investing the time it takes to make a game, then you're probably hoping to survive off of it. But actually, I can't remember the guy's name, but there's someone who works for EA, like on like the Sims franchise, and that's his day job. And then, outside of that, he makes independent games that he just lets you download for free off of his website.
That's actually kind of cool, then. I mean, the free part always gets people in.
Yeah, yeah. And see, he's just doing that because he wants to, and he wants people to experience, you know, these interesting things. Like, there's this game called The Marriage. I don't know if anyone's ever heard of it. It's a free game off of his website. I'll have to look up
the name. Come on, Marriage is not free. I guarantee that.
But it's very abstract. You know, you play the game and you're basically two, there's two squares. There's a blue square and there's a pink square. And they bounce around this field, and there's these little, like, circular, like, balls that fall down, and they're of different colors, and every time each one touches one, they get bigger. And there's no clicking. You're just hovering the mouse around. You don't click anything. But, like, if you hover the mouse over the pink square, she'll get bigger, but the blue square will get smaller. And I believe vice versa. And so you're basically just trying to keep them, like, collecting balls and keep giving them even attention. So that they, you know, that they thrive together. That you don't give too much attention to one of them, and one of them becomes too big, and the other one just fades out and dies. It's really bizarre. It's like his abstract, like, thoughts on marriage. It's very peculiar.
But I wouldn't call that abstract. It sounds pretty dead on.
Well, that's what a lot of people say about it. I read an article about him in Wired magazine. Actually, I think I have it somewhere here in my room. But he jokes about how when he made the game and talked about what it was about and what it was saying, that his wife actually wasn't very happy with him. But
no, she probably wouldn't have been.
So. Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, being an indie game developer, I don't know if you hope to strike it rich. I mean, you want to make enough to live and to be able to work on your next project, but...
Yeah, and to maybe actually not live paycheck to paycheck like most people.
Right. Mm. I don't know, maybe you just do it for fun. I mean, I know, trying to link it back to music. I mean, me myself, you know, I'm in a band, but I have a job, and... I like playing music, and on the weekends when we can practice or play shows, it's great, but I don't expect, you know, I'm not doing it because I want us to, like, break into the mainstream, and, you know, I'm not doing it because I want to be able to quit my job and just live off of music. I just do it because I like music, and I like making music.
See, and I think music works better that way.
Right.
I mean, because it's something that you can easily do if you just enjoy and you're not trying to make money off of it.
Right.
Video game development, there's a lot of work there.
Yeah.
So what kind of band?
What kind of band? Punk band.
Sweet.
In fact, maybe right here I'll insert a little bit of one of our songs. So I guess bringing this back, I mean, right now we've only talked about downloadable games in whole, but, I mean, what do you guys feel about additional content that you could download for existing, you know, disc-based games? Do you guys often download any of this? I mean, I know myself, I don't.
I
except
do.
For Rock Band, but...
I don't do Rock Band, but I'll pick up the occasional Little Big Planet costume pack.
Okay.
I've picked up all the DLC for Burnout Paradise.
Mm-hmm.
And all then, of it for Street Fighter?
Oh, yeah, all of it for Street Fighter. And then I picked up like the Lumines skins, like in the add-ons for that. I picked up all that. And the Pacific Storm, I mean the Motor Storm Pacific Rift, I pick up that stuff as well.
Okay.
And personally, I just enjoy it because, especially like a game like Burnout Paradise, where, you know, I initially thought that I was tired of that game, you know, after a few months of playing the disc-based version. After they released the downloadable version and all the car packs, and then Big Sur Island is just a lot of fun just to kind of get in there and screw around and like see how like much airtime you can get.
Mm-hmm.
Like that you know that game keeps continually changing, and if they ever do release, you know, airplanes like they're supposed to for Burnout Paradise, that's going to be something completely different, and
right?
Crazy. So,
But as far as Burnout goes, how much of that downloadable content was actually free?
Not much after a while.
Really?
Yeah. I mean,
they did a lot of like free content updates where like they were adding new races and new events, and they added motorcycles for free, if I remember correctly. But then all the car packs have been pay. The cops and robbers mode was pay, and then of course Big Surf Island was. But I think all of it has made that game probably the best racing game out there right now. There's nothing that even comes close. I have no desire to go pick up a Forza or anything because I just want to drive around really fast and hit things, and that works in Burnout.
Yeah, no,
it is a great value, especially now. I mean, you know, I downloaded it as well. I haven't gotten all the downloadable content, but I downloaded it on PS3 because I think they have it available there for $20 or maybe it's $30. I can't remember, but no, I mean that it was a ton of fun, and for that amount of money, I mean, it was great, and it came with all the, you know, previous downloadable content. And, you know, they're very good about advertising what they do have available as far as paid content, so it's very, yeah, they're very good. Unlike Microsoft, I guess, with their downloadable products, Burnout, you know, those guys are very good with showing you what's available and kind of teasing you and making you really want to download it.
So, what does it say for a game when you actually download extra content for a game that was DLC to begin with, something like the Pixel Junk Eden Encores and the Pixel Junk Monsters Encore? I mean, I've got all those too.
Right. That means it was just a really, really solid downloadable game. I mean, that made you actually want to go back and continue playing it.
I'll make the argument with Pixel Junk Eden. Encore made the game a lot more enjoyable than the game was initially. I found parts of Eden to be like highly frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
And so once Encore came out, and I'm trying to remember exactly what it was that they changed that made the game all that more enjoyable.
It was longer time limits. You got more time back on certain things. They fixed some of the jumping mechanics, and they made some of the later levels a little bit more doable.
Right. Because when you sit down to play Pixel Junk Eden, the first impression you get is that it's just going to be one of those chill games. And then you start getting a couple gardens in, and you're dealing with some really obscene time limits, and you're not relaxed anymore. You're like in full blown like, you know, game mode, and so. You know, what they did with Encore, with like toning it down a little bit, made that game more enjoyable. I could now just sit in that game and relax like I thought I was going to be in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So, Raymond, are you trying to say like maybe like games get released like in an unfinished or in an imperfect state, and you know, add downloadable content like fixes issues?
I think in some cases it does, especially with the Pixel Junk series, because honestly it made Monsters more playable too for a lot of people.
And you know how I feel about Burnout Paradise. One of the big changes that they made to Burnout Paradise that makes me enjoy that game so much more is that I can, if I fail a race, I can instantly restart that race instead of having to try to find out where I was.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
But
it gets to a point where this isn't even really like new content. This is almost like patches, like you'd get, you know, from PC games back in the day.
Right.
I mean, look, I don't know, talking about how you're describing DLC for Burnout that you've purchased, or these Pixel Junk games that you've purchased, I mean, let's look at Team Fortress 2 for the PC, where everything you can download for that is free, and it has fundamentally changed the game from when it was released.
Definitely.
I mean, you have new, like, you know, you play and you get achievements, and you unlock new weapons as you play, and they've even changed that. I mean, originally when they, you know, brought out like the medic updates and who was after that? I think the Pyro. It was you know, linked to achievements. You had to get certain achievements, and when you would get enough, you'd unlock the first weapon, then you'd get the second weapon, and then you'd finally get the ultimate weapon. And now they've changed that. And actually, as you play, the longer you play, the more frequently when you kill people, the weapons will actually drop. So it's not linked. You don't have to do these ridiculous achievements anymore, which people were just trying to cheat anyway. You know, they found ways where they could just create servers with their friends and actually designed maps that specifically allowed for you to get these achievements. They created the situations you needed to meet those criteria. And now it's like an MMO where you just keep playing and eventually, you know, you kill a guy and he just drops the weapon. Even though he didn't have it, it's just on his body somehow and you get it. The experience of Team Fortress 2 is like completely different, but it's all been free.
So who drops the jar of piss then?
The jar of piss? Anybody can drop the jar of piss.
That is fantastic.
So yeah, I mean, it's just, you know. So I guess when it comes to that, I mean, should all, you know, DLC that, you know, changes the game, I mean, that should that all be free?
I'd like to say yes, but there's the part of me that I'm sure that says no, it can't all be free because the developers still have to get paid for that extra work they're putting in. I mean, everyone wants something for free, but you got to pay for it sometime.
Right. I mean, I agree. I don't really have an absolute position on this. I mean, I appreciate what Valve did with TF2 in that regard, but as I wrote about a long time ago, which actually got us started on this DLC conversation, you know, as far as Valkyria Chronicles goes and that DLC, you know, that game didn't sell well. It's actually sold better now over the past couple months, but didn't sell well at launch, and they announced this DLC, and I mean, I kind of thought about it, and it seems like that's a great way to make money on a niche game that not many people bought. It's like you're just charging your consumer base an extra, you know, $20 or $30, you know, which helps with your original cost and maybe will help you produce more content in the future. So it's basically, you know, you're saying, okay, you faithful, you know, I don't know, 200,000 people who bought this game, you know, give us another $30 so we can continue to work on the game and produce more content for this game you love.
And maybe make a sequel.
Exactly. A PSP sequel, unfortunately enough.
Yeah. So I always love when sequels end up on a different platform.
Right.
It's like, really? But I bought your game for this one. Thanks.
Yeah. It's kind of disappointing. Can you just play PSP games on PS3? Like, I know you can download PSP games on the PlayStation Network. Can you just play them on PS3?
You can route the video outs into your TV, but not just on the PS3.
Okay, yeah, because I don't have a PSP, so.
You're not missing a lot. I mean, I like mine, but I don't really use it for playing games, so.
How cool would that be? What if you could, like, once the PSP Go or whatever comes out and they're saying it's all going to be downloadable, so you're just downloading stuff through the PSN anyway. Wouldn't that be great if you could just play these games on your PS3? It seems like they'd sell more copies of PSP games, because now you have both, you know.
Wait, Jason, why would you say no? I think that'd be awesome, because there's more stuff I'd pick up then, because I don't have to worry about, you know, sitting there with my stupid little portable system. I can sit in front of my TV.
I want you to stop talking right now and go boot up Final Fantasy VII on the PS3 and try playing it.
You're talking a game that was made for the, you know, PlayStation. We're talking modern-day PSP games.
I know, but it looks significantly better on the PSP than it does on the TV.
It's because the screen size is smaller.
Right, and PSP games are going to be the exact same way. You're not going to want to stare at a PSP game on a big screen TV playing your PS3 because it's not going to look good.
Yeah, but Wii owners play games now and they don't look good either. So what's your point?
I don't personally think, like, I cannot say I love Final Fantasy VII. I'm playing it on my PSP, but like when I tried to play it on my PS3 right after I got it, like I literally wanted to scoop eye matter out of my head and just it hurt to look at.
You're just like a graphics snob then.
Right.
No. Go try playing it and tell me that you don't have the same reaction.
Well, I agree it's going to look bad. I mean, it wasn't designed in any way for the sort of systems, you know, that we're using on HD TVs, widescreen displays, and plus it's not native to the PS3.
I'm a firm believer that the PSP titles that are going to be developed and downloadable titles are going to suffer the same thing. They're going to be intended to be shown on a small screen, so the fidelity is going to be, it's going to look better on that screen than if you throw it on a big screen. Even if you do something silly like God, what was that thing that you could plug into your Super Nintendo?
Like, Nintendo's done this for years, and I've never minded. I loved playing Pokemon on my, Game Boy Advance plug-in that you had for the GameCube. I mean, they've done it for years. I mean, they had the Super Game Boy, I think is what you're thinking of. That was the plug-in for Super Nintendo that let you play your games. And it just, you know, it put borders around the screen, and it kept the resolution fairly small. And then they did it again with the GameCube and the Game Boy Advance. And I had a Game Boy Advance player, too, and I love that thing.
Yeah, because sometimes it doesn't matter about the graphics. It's about the ability to play it wherever you are. Right. And a portable system is not always the best thing at home. I mean, I hate sitting around with my portable at home.
I can never get comfortable. Like, I want to, like, lay on my stomach, and then, like, it hurts my elbows having to hold the screen. It hurts my neck. And then I don't want to just sit straight up in my couch and play a game like that. I know they'd have to make, you know, some concessions. I know that the graphics wouldn't look amazing, but, you know, I wouldn't mind.
Yeah, see, I guess I kind of think of my PSP or my DS in the same fashion that, like, you know, as I think of, you know, like a book, like, you know, when I sit down and read a book, I get comfortable reading a book, and I can do the exact same thing with, you know, a DS or PSP. I can just, like, you know, sitting on a couch, sit in a chair, whatever, and get in a comfortable position, and basically have the same experience where I don't need the controller and I don't need to stare at the TV. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm comfortable with that in that fashion. So I guess for me personally, I don't want that, you know, that experience.
All right. Well, let me ask you this then. You're citing Final Fantasy VII as your example. Say that you did not have a PSP and playing it on the PS3 was all you could do. Would you not play the game right now? Is it that bad where you would actually just not, you'd prefer to not play the game?
I would probably break, yeah, it is. Yeah,
really?
I mean, I have a PS2 and I have a original copy of Final Fantasy VII on my shelf.
What?
And, yeah.
Yeah, listen to him.
Can you play that shit on your PS3 right now?
It could, but I wanted it off the PSN to be able to play on my PSP. That's the sole reason why I wanted it off the PSN. Because yes, like, I cannot stand to look at that game. I can barely stand to look at a PS2 game upscaled on the PS3.
Really?
Yeah. It's just, it's not a pleasant experience.
Welcome to being an HD snob.
Yes. You've made it.
Yeah.
Well,
I could feel the welcoming embrace now.
I'm right there with you for, like, movies. I can't watch DVDs anymore, but games, I understand that not all games were, you know, that I want to play are going to be in HD. Hell, most of the games on the 360 aren't in HD, but that's beside the point. You just have to enjoy it for what it is. It's not all about the graphics. I'd still rather play the original Monkey Island that I have discs for on my shelf than the new released one. I just have to find a way to get those discs to install on my computer since I don't have floppy drives.
That's funny. Did Jason tell you that for our next game we talked about playing? We talked about maybe doing the re-release of Monkey Island?
Yeah, which I have no problems with, except for I don't like that it's a point-and-click interface now.
What was it before?
It was one of those, you know, you move around and you have to type everything.
Oh, man.
I loved those games. Wow.
He's like, you made this game too easy.
If it's any consolation, I know you can turn the old graphics on.
Well, that's a help.
Crotch the old Raymond. You kids, new fancy control schemes.
Yeah, you know, back in my day, we had to use a keyboard.
God forbid. What are those things?
You played Duke Nukem without being able to aim up or down.
Duke Nukem, you mean Wolfenstein 3D?
Was it Duke Nukem? No, Duke Nukem didn't have mouse control either, did it?
Duke Nukem did.
Did it? Okay, well, Wolfenstein and the original Doom didn't either, I don't think.
Correct.
Okay. I didn't think Duke Nukem did, but maybe I'm wrong.
I know it. I don't know if the first Duke did, but I know they ended up with it in there. So
yeah, I just, like, I can remember the very first shooter I played that had mouse control was Half-Life.
That sounds about right. So, and I never would. They first got mouse control, and I told all those people they were idiots for using it.
who wants to aim?
It'll never work.
Yeah, that's not going to catch.
Yeah. Well, that's because during that time period, I played more Descent than anything else, and who needed a mouse?
Oh, Descent, really? I think, didn't they port Descent over to N64?
Yeah, and it was horrible.
Yeah, I think I played it on N64.
Oh, it's garbage.
That, and me and my cousin always played split-screen Hexic, I think was... Is that what it was called?
Hexen?
Hexen, yeah, not Hexic. That's the puzzle game. Yeah, Hexen.
Yeah. Hexen was pretty atrocious.
Yeah, it was.
But, you know, that was during the time period where first-person shooters had just taken off, so everyone was quick to capitalize.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them sucked.
Yeah, agreed.
And there was no downloadable content then.
To fix it.
Is there any hope for us? Or are the rumors true? Are we just the Mochan kindling at a cruise? Can we recover from this? I've seen expressions in department stores. I've smelled regression wafting up from his shores. This is not a celebration. I'm slipping through some crack. This is love and devastation. And we're the roots of the trash.
Have any downloadable content before we move on to the everything getting pushed back in 2009? Do you have any downloadable games or DLC that you kind of go back to, like the either the whatever you want to call it, the palate cleanser, or the I don't know what the fuck I'm going to play, so I'm just going to play this game?
I think Pac-Man Championship Edition. It's kind of those
serious
ones. Oh, yeah, for sure. I love Pac-Man CE. I mean, I think that's one of those ones where I'm just kind of hanging out. I got like 10 minutes to kill. If my 360's on, then I would just boot that game up and just play a little bit.
I just hate Pac-Man.
Really? See, there's something wrong with you, Raymond, right there.
I acknowledge it for starting the golden age of the arcades, but it was a horribly boring game.
I mean, have you played Championship Edition?
No, but what can be any different?
Championship Edition is actually a lot of fun.
I mean, it gives you goals, you know. Now it's not just, you know, you clear the maze and now you start a new one. I mean, the whole idea is competing for high scores, and you see your friend's scores, and, you know, and there's a time limit now. It's not, you know, go till you run out of lives, although you can run out of lives. It's basically like you have 5 minutes to get as many points as you can. Go for it. And there's, like, just several different game modes, and I don't know, it kind of revolutionizes Pac-Man.
Revolutionizing Pac-Man.
It's yeah, honestly, I gotta agree. Like, that game is actually really effing good.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
give it a shot.
But it's on the 360, so no.
Okay, well, fair enough. I tried, I guess.
Like,
I was gonna ask, Jason, can you not download arcade games if you have a silver membership?
Probably can. I actually haven't turned on my 360 in... trying to remember the last time I turned it on. Can't.
I know the last time I used mine, it was to play 1 vs. 100.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I still haven't played that one. I, you know what, you probably can. You probably can. I just, you know, I did have a gold membership for a while, and I was always kind of, like, irritated that there wasn't at least some type of... I kind of felt like maybe there should have been, like, a discount given. If you're a gold membership, you maybe there should have been, like, some type of discount given so that you weren't, you know, paying... like, essentially, like, double at times.
Right. It is true. It is sort of like double charging.
they also get charged for demos, if you ask me. Oh, wow, they get a demo before the PSN. But, yeah, it's for gold subscribers only, so you had to pay for that demo.
Right. Yeah, so it's not really a demo at that point. Right.
Yeah, you're buying a paid trial version.
Right.
Yeah. There are a couple other titles that I liked on the 360. Did you guys ever play Poker Smash?
Yes. No, I never did.
Yeah, Poker Smash was a lot of fun. It was kind of like a Planet Puzzle League style game, but the blocks were cards, and so like you could either, I believe you could clear, I don't know if you could clear colors or not, but like you had to clear, like, you know, you can clear three of a kind or full houses or royal flushes, and they would give you extra points. A really cool looking aesthetic, and it was just a lot of fun. That was one I kind of, like, some people may not have known or forgot about.
It had obnoxious music, though.
It did kind of have, like, it was kind of like a Western, like, weird Western theme about it.
I don't know. It felt like it was Western techno, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
not really, but I'm interested.
No, you're not. Trust me.
But you might be interested in the game, not in the Western techno.
Right. Yeah. That's fair. And then, yeah, as far as other downloadable games that I go back to, I really like Everyday Shooter. I know we mentioned that briefly. I played on PC, not on PS3, but I think Everyday Shooter is pretty unique and pretty interesting.
I don't know. Lately, I found myself going back to a really strange one, and that's Burn Zombie Burn.
Right.
Actually really come to enjoy that. Even though the controls aren't what they should be, I've really come to enjoy the hell out of that game.
Well, you know they're patching it, right?
Yeah.
And it's still not getting controls.
That's fine. I'm totally okay with it now because I enjoy the game for its quirkiness.
Yeah.
I like the fact that there was a trophy for killing the red shirt zombie.
Is that a Star Trek reference?
Uh-huh.
Did you guys ever play Plants vs. Zombies?
No, I hear stuff about it, though.
But that game is amazing.
What exactly is it?
Okay, well, let me try to describe this. So it's not really a tower defense game. It's sort of a defense game, though. I mean, basically, imagine, okay, you have your garden, and zombies will come in from the right. And there's basically six aisles they can come in on. So they can either come in the very bottom of the garden, the row above that, and so on and so forth. So there's six areas they can come in from the right. And then on the left... actually, anywhere in the garden, anywhere there's grass, you can set up plants that will shoot things at the zombies. Or there's plants that they give you sunlight, which you need to build other plants. There's like walnuts you can grow that the zombies will stop and eat, which will buy you time to, you know, to add to your garden to combat the zombies. So basically, you're just dropping plants somewhere in those six rows to just attack the zombies. And you just have to hold out until the zombie onslaught ends. And if the zombie gets to your plant, it'll eat the plant and kill it. So you'll have to build another plant to try to stop it. And basically, you just don't want the zombies to get to the end of the garden. So.
Okay.
And is that available on Steam?
Yeah. In fact, Steam's the way to go. If you get it from PopCap, it's like $20. But if you get it from Steam, it's only $10.
Okay. Yeah, Steam's always better.
Yeah, Steam is incredible. But they have a demo, which it's a one-hour demo. You could just play the game as much as you can in 1 hour. So that might be something you want to try.
And I just remember the other game every once in a while go back to and then spend marathon sessions on is Super Stardust for the PSN.
Oh yeah, no, I never played that. That came out before I had a PS3, and then I never really went back to it. But
it's fantastic, and if you like Geometry Wars at all, it's probably the better between those two.
Really?
Yeah, it's the better twin stick shooter. It's just fantastic.
I just thought of another downloadable game I loved, and that was Mega Man 9.
Oh, you sadistic bastard.
That game is so good. I've never beaten it, actually. Every now and then I go back and try, but that game is awesome.
You just like to torture yourself.
Wow.
That game is so good. I mean, I just love Mega Man. I mean, Mega Man 2 is such a good game, and while it's not as hard as Mega Man 9, I mean, it's... I don't know. I can appreciate Mega Man 9, especially I got it on Wii, so flipping the controller over so it's basically an NES pad and playing that, it's awesome.
All right. Well, I'm going to leave you to that one because I played the demo and I was just like, fuck, either I've gotten really horrible at these games, don't say a word to anybody, I don't want your opinion, or this game is just like obnoxiously hard. I just like, no, you know, no, I don't need that kind of frustration. So.
Right.
See, Scott, you ruined this. You should have said you beat it in like 2 hours just so we could drag on Jason.
Yeah, it was no problem. I didn't even die once.
Oh, yeah.
No, I do it, and my favorite thing too about it is you can save your game, so I can always go back to it and just start from the last couple of bosses. Last couple of levels I haven't beaten yet, which I think there's like three I haven't beaten yet. Because when I play those games, I always try to go through. I guess this part of the sadistic thing. I always try to go through and just win with the his Mega Man's normal Mega Buster. I try not to use the powers that you get.
Good God,
enemies. Wow. Like, that's how I like to play those Mega Man games. Like, I don't like to figure out which enemy's weak against which weapon. I just like to just play through as I want, whatever level, and just beat them with the Mega Buster.
Do you drive your car through walls because it's easier too?
Wow.
So that's how I've always played Mega Man games. It's just more fun to me. I don't know. I don't like to go online and look at the exact order I need to just beat the game in the easiest way. So,
more power to you then, because I could never do that.
I didn't necessarily find the easiest way, but I just liked, you know, using the different weapons just because I like to see something other than like a yellow ball of poo flying across the screen.
Right.
You know. And then there was times where like, okay, this clearly isn't working. Let's try another weapon. And then you just kind of find like, oh, okay, I get it now.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, no, yeah. No, I never did that up until like Mega Man 2, the very last boss. You have to, like he can't even be hurt by your Mega Buster, so they force you to do it. But I would play through that whole game without using anything except maybe the Leaf Shield at certain parts because that would protect you when you're like trying to jump on these disappearing platforms and like. Enemies will just fly across the screen and knock you down. So,
speaking of Mega Man, weren't those the games that, like, instead of having like a code for like continuing your game, they had like the grid with like the little spears in it where you'd have to copy it down?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh God, that was
which was like, awesome.
Yeah, yeah. That's what that game needs. No save anywhere. It needs needs the spears. So you'd have like a. Piece of graph paper on with like four or five different configurations of spears, so you remember which one you were on.
Right.
But once you figured out the system, you could make yourself anywhere you wanted to be.
I never figured out the system.
But yeah, I love Mega Man. So.
I find myself going back to right now I find myself going back to Battlefield 1943 a lot. Just because, like, if I don't know what I want to play, well, I guess that was before Fat Princess. Now, kind of Fat Princess is kind of what I go to if I don't know what I want to play.
Right.
But you know, Battlefield 1943 is pretty much the same way because I can hop in, snipe some people, and, you know, just kind of kill like an hour or so. And but the other games I go back to are Lumines, which I can not really ever get enough of. I like the aesthetic. I like the skins. I like the gameplay. The music is fantastic. Like, I want to see more stuff from them. So I like that. And then I can't understand it, and nobody's gonna agree with me. But Pain. I play Pain like probably too much.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. I don't know why, because I don't really know. What it is exactly I'm, why I'm motivated to play that game. Like, every time I play it, my girlfriend's like, why are you playing that? Like, stop playing that game. Like,
even she knows it's not a good game?
It's physically annoying to her, and I'll just, like, you know, I'll just play it, and I don't know why. You know, I haven't picked up as much of the downloadable content as I would like, but, like, every time something new comes out, I'm like, maybe I will get that, you know? So that's one of my, I guess that's my unusual pick, but I think I recommended it last week. We talked about it, but I'm going to recommend it again. If you guys haven't picked up Shatter yet for the PSN, you should definitely do that.
Shatter is fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, I've heard more talk about Shatter over the past couple weeks of listening to podcasts and stuff, and it does seem like something I think I'm going to pick up.
Because it seems so simple at its core, and then you start playing it and you realize there's a lot more to this, and it's hard at times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, shut up, Jason. I know I can't beat your high scores.
Oh, yeah. Validation. I'm actually good at some video games.
Some. Don't let it go to your head, though.
Yeah, yeah. So, but yeah, no, that's kind of what I go back to. So,
sounds good. Nate, you got any games you always go back to?
I mean, I really don't have that much in DLC, I guess. But weirdly enough, I played Nobi Nobi Boy a little bit.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it's like late at night. I don't know, that or Burnout, I guess. I'll just cruise around.
Yeah. Yeah, Burnout, I guess I don't really necessarily consider it a downloadable game, even though I did download it.
Right.
But yeah, Burnout's a pretty easy game to just kind of go into and, you know, just joke around. If you have someone over who hasn't seen it yet, you just jump in there, and I think everyone kind of always wants to give it a try because it's just a lot of fun.
Stage I claim to be, I've only cradled death in my own ending flesh from far off an abstracted lit candle wick flickering. And when a thing starts finishing around me, I faint or fake a mustache and accent or flee. In fear my expired license be pulled by sheer proximity. Fact, the poser and the bowler get shot first. Thinks he's a shit cause he can spit and curse. Acting brash and flash in a pistol that squirts. Scowling and shouting, shall we dance? Should our hero's hands be holding this blackest purse? Mom, am I failing or worse? Mom, am I failing? What should these earnest hands be with the precision of an infinite decimal, to listen up and send back a true echo of something forever felt but never heard. I want that sharp and still a truth in every word. The small fry in the bow tie dies first, acting wild like the spirit.